For CertSecurity.com, I'm Rob Westervelt. You're listening to a special edition of Security Wire Weekly, reporting from the RSA Conference 2008 in San Francisco. In this edition, we talk about data classification and rights management with privacy and data protection expert Rita Mears. Also, a review of the news from the conference, an updated version of the PCI standards is being readied, and financial firms struggle catching web-savvy criminals. You can check out these stories and more at CertSecurity.com/RSA08. First, the news. The PCI Security Standards Council is preparing an updated version. PCI Council General Manager Bob Russo told reporters that merchants can expect the updated rules in September. Russo said areas being updated include wireless implementations, application security, and pre-authorization. A beta version of the standard will be released in August to the Council's 500 participating organizations. Qualified security assessors will also get a copy so the Council can get feedback. Up next, we're speaking with privacy and data protection expert Rita Mears of Deloitte about why organizations need to get their data in order. Many companies have not properly implemented a data classification and rights management program, and Mears says that could lead to data leakage and ultimately a serious data breach. In this interview at the RSA conference, Mears explained the challenges companies face when they try to start a data project.
So, Rita, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Have companies missed the boat in terms of data classification? Have they really gotten to the point where they know where their data is?
Interestingly enough, I think the survey, and I think I've talked about this in the past, we did an enterprise at risk survey. And one of the things we found in that survey was that almost every company said that they did data classification, they had implemented data classification. When we actually talked to companies, we found out that what that almost always means is there is a nice data classification document somewhere with some nice classes defined, somewhere between 2 and 4. And pretty much what happens is the document is sitting on a shelf, often with other policies that are sitting on the shelf, not clear who's read it, not clear how well it's implemented, and even more importantly, fairly clear that the technologies that have been implemented really aren't at this point equipped to deal effectively with the data classification. We see data classification coming more in it, things like segmenting networks. So if somebody says, oh, this is a more sensitive type of information falling in a data class that needs to be protected, it's usually done at what I would call the gross level rather than the data level, architecturally segmented.
Let's talk about how PCI would affect that then, and the payment card industry data security standards. Just one area where segmentation comes into play. I mean, they say you should segment that area. How is data classification affected in that case?
Well, I actually think the PCI and the whole PCI requirements have driven more spend in this space than we've seen in a long time. Companies are taking it seriously. There are a lot of areas in PCI that require decisions. They require strategic decisions on the part of the company. And so you are starting to see, and that's why I say classification at the gross level, they are saying, you know, here's clearly a class of data that has special requirements and obviously significant downside potential, with the thought of fines, tiered interchange being affected, breach notification along with all of those things. So they are developing that segmentation. What I think is still a challenge often is for companies who are trying to meet the framework of PCI, really being able to have the time to step back and say, now that network segmentation, is it really complete? Is it really effective at all layers? And then at the end of the day, we're still back to the value adoption question. People who rightly have access to the information, knowing what they should or should not do with that information within the guidelines.
Let's talk about rights management and some of the real challenges there. It's really a people challenge, isn't it? Really more than a technology challenge, or is it a mixture of both?
All of the above. Okay, so going back to the same enterprise at risk survey that we did, and we do it annually, and we're getting ready to do it again. what we found out of all the technologies that have been implemented, the one that had been least implemented so far was digital rights management. And, you know, there's a love-hate relationship with digital rights management in the technology world. You know, so now there's this conversation about should it be there at all under, you know, for certain kinds of products and services, or should it be complete? And I think there's a lot of challenges. One is people. One challenge really is people. Again, value adoption. Who has the right? Who's the owner? Walk into an enterprise. Everybody has an opinion about what should be done with data. No one really wants to stick up their hand and say, I own the data. Because when they say, I own the data, and you tell them that that is equal to accountability for what happens to the data, hands quickly drop. You know, it's not that I don't want to have use of the data, have some say over the data, but to actually own and be accountable for the data is a challenge. So I think that's part of the digital rights management problem. The concept of data stewardship and accountability creates issues. Then the next issue is really being able, in a digital rights world, being able to project in a meaningful way what is the value of the data as an asset, how long do I want that asset to live, who should have rights to that asset, really comes back to my favorite topic, which data is an asset, and we should start treating it that way.
ROI is obviously very important in the IT.
Right.
Is it particularly difficult to show ROI with a data classification project or a rights management project?
Only if you don't connect the dots to the fact that data is an asset. And most of us don't at this point. But I'm going to talk about a situation. If I have an asset out there, if I'm a company with an asset out there, a car, a building, a product, and the product is actually sitting there and it's empty. Let's just take a building. It's empty. It's falling apart. You know, it's hitting people on the head with falling bricks. It represents nothing but risk to me, right? I'm paying insurance. I may be paying mortgage. It's just a totally downside risk. But yet I continue to keep that building. I would rightly be asked by both the board of directors and my management team, you know, what's your management approach? What's your strategy here? How are you managing that asset? So the ROI would be either something below the acceptable rate of return, or it would be zero, or it could even be negative, depending on what I get in the way of fines and lawsuits and things like that. Yet we do that with data every day. Enterprises deal with data as if it were free, and it is not. So when we talk about data classification, when we talk about data protection, when we talk about data management, if I look at data as an asset, a true asset, then I can say I have an IRR, I have a rate of return that I expect an ROI off the investment of that asset. If that asset's returning nothing or it's negative, it represents merely litigation risk, you know, breach risk, regulatory risk, but it's not giving me revenue or not supporting my employees as an indirect revenue driver, then why do I have it? And so one of the ways to get return on investment and to show return on investment in a data project is to be able to show that you will have effectively concentrated your efforts in the most bang for the buck place of your assets. And the first recommendation is often get rid of a lot of things you're holding because there is no return. So the ROI becomes, you know, reduction in maintenance costs, sustainability costs, reduction in infrastructure costs, reduction in security costs, because you're again focusing on that which is most important. All data isn't worth the same. You don't have to protect every piece of data as if it's valuable intellectual property. Some of it's not. Some of it is not PII. Some of it's just general junk. If it's junk, get rid of it, lower the protection on it, concentrate your efforts where you actually are getting some return.
And finally this week, criminals are using the web, the phone, mail, and even brick and mortar to defraud banks at an alarming rate. That was the message from a group of financial services executives at an RSA conference panel discussion. The banks face problems addressing the issue. Adding additional authentication to thwart fraud is tricky because customers don't necessarily want to go through a lot of hassle to do their banking, panelists said. They also said that they're looking at the risks new channels such as mobile banking might bring. Ultimately, they said this kind of fraud won't be going away. Well, that ends this special edition of Security Wire Weekly. You can check out our previous podcast by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And you can check out the latest news and information at RSA Conference 2008 at searchsecurity.com/RSA08. That's searchsecurity.com/RSA08. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.